Please turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 14. Later on, John's going to be unpacking this passage with us. And I'm going to read from John 14, 1 to 14, even though I think John's just concentrating on the first six verses. I thought we would just read this whole section so that we can see the first six verses firmly in their context. Jesus has explained to his disciples that he's soon going to be leaving the earth, and so obviously they're quite anxious and concerned. They have followed Jesus so faithfully for 3 years, and now he's going away. What would they do now? Well, Jesus speaks to them in John 14:1 and says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God," or trust in God, "believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." This is God's word.
I was just sitting here thinking how to commence this evening. I was thinking I was here when the news came through of the fall of the Soviet Union. There are folk here who remember that day, I'm sure. And it was such a relief, wasn't it? The Cold War is over. There's hope for the future. And I'm sure some of you were here when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. There's hope for the future. Everything's going to be okay. And now, who's going to push the button first? North Korea? The Ayatollahs? President Trump? What's going to happen with Brexit? Will we collapse economically? Will it divide this island? Will it lead to the unification of this island? What about our church? How long have we been planning to build? And yet, they've got a car park. And maybe your troubles are more personal than that. Maybe you've trouble in your family, or in your health, or in your future. What is the future of Baptist missions in South Peru? I'm the last missionary, and I retire officially in 2 years' time. Does it have a future? Well, does it need a future? Maybe not. God knows. There's all sorts of things that can trouble us at an international, at a national, at a church, at a family, at a personal level. And we can see so many problems. And the problems are real. The problems are not our imagination, though sometimes they are, but pardon me, there are genuine problems. Who do you think was the most troubled person in the upper room when Jesus was there with his 11 disciples. Judas has gone. Who was the most troubled person in that room? I would suggest to you that the most troubled person was Jesus. Jesus knew what was going to happen. We have trouble because we don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. A few days earlier, we read in John 12:27, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." How much did it cost him to say that? In that same night in which he spoke those words of comfort, we read when he talks about his betrayal, Jesus says in chapter 13, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." He was troubled in spirit. And yet, when these men are troubled, he is the one who brings comfort to them. And when you think about it, the comfort that he brings is the result of the trouble that he has. He is facing the trouble so that they do not need to face the most serious trouble there is. Their troubles are what's going to happen with our future. We have trusted this man. We have walked with him for 3 years. He is supposedly the Messiah. He has had a triumphal entry in Jerusalem. He is going to reign. Oh, he's not going to reign. He's going away. He's leaving us. What's all this about? What's going to happen? And they're concerned about themselves. And yet Jesus, with all his genuine troubles, takes time for them. And who are they? These are the men who are going to betray him. These are the men who don't understand him. "Though all men forsake you, yet I will not forsake you." "Peter, are you going to betray me this night?" "Show us the Father and it's enough." "How long have you been with me, Philip? Do you not know me?" And as we say in Northern Ireland, what are they like? What are they like? Well, if we answer that, think in your own heart, they're like me. They're like me, aren't they? No matter how much Jesus speaks to us in his word, we have problems believing it, don't we? We have problems when it comes to the crunch of actually trusting in this Jesus. And Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." It's a command. It's a gentle command, but it's a command. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." The first thing for a troubled soul to understand is to understand who is God and who is Christ. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who has promised to send a Savior. The God who has prepared all things for the coming of that Savior. The God who always fulfills his promises. This is God. "You believe in God," says Christ. "Believe also in me. I am that Savior. I am God the Savior. I am worthy of the same belief that you have in the Father." Believe in Christ, who's going to be betrayed by one who's just left the company, who's going to be denied by one who's still there, who's going to be abandoned by all of them, who's going to go to a cross and die. "Yes," says Jesus, "believe in God, believe also in me." Understand that my mission as Messiah is to set up a spiritual kingdom. It's to transform men and women throughout the world, and it is necessary that I take this path, which you do not understand, but trust me. Trust me when you don't understand me, because I too am God and will fulfill all my promises. Troubled soul, what's your trouble tonight? Jesus says, if you understand the greatness of God, the God who has never failed to keep his word, and if you understand the glory of Christ who has come to save sinners, you can leave your troubles with a Savior like that. You can leave your troubles safely in his hands. What are your troubles? Will the world end when someone pushes the wrong button? No, it won't. Will the world end because of climate change? No, it won't. Christ says, or God says in the Old Testament, seed time and harvest will remain until the end. Christ says that he will return. There may be serious natural disasters, there may be serious wars, but the world will not end until God in Christ reaches the point which he has planned and which will come to pass. Jesus says, trust in God, believe in God, believe also in me. It isn't possible to believe in God without believing in Christ. We hear about the three great monotheistic religions. There are not three great monotheistic religions. There is one monotheistic truth. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one way to God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You cannot worship God. You cannot believe in God correctly without believing and trusting in Christ. And Christ as he is revealed in Scripture. Christ as the Savior of sinners. And so the first rule for a troubled soul is believe in God, believe also in Christ. The second rule is believe in heaven. Or think of the reality of heaven. He says, I'm going away, and they're sad because of that. But he says, there's an advantage in my going away. Because if I go away, I will come again. But he says also, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? The older versions, the AV says, many mansions. I often wonder to myself, what would we do if we had a mansion each? Who would look after it? Who would live in it all on our own with a mansion each? It's not a mansion, it's a room. In the Sierra in Peru, what happens on a farm is that the youngest son will be left to take care of the parents, and he will inherit the greater part of the farm. And when he gets married, the wife goes to live with him. And the wife is under the mother-in-law. Not always a successful thing, but much more successful than you might think. We always feel strange when we're visiting someone, don't we? Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm telling you that there's room in my Father's house. But how wonderful is it to go to the house of a father of a friend? It's a bit nerve-wracking at times, isn't it? We've all felt it. We know the friend, but what's the father like? But the wonderful thing about Jesus' Father, when we trust in him, is that he is our Father. It's not just going to the house of a friend's father. It's going home. It's going home like we've never been home before. Where is home for me? I don't know. People say to me, where's home? I always talk when I come here, I say, I'm going home. I'm going home to Northern Ireland. And I feel it's home. I go back to Peru and I feel it's home. But part of my family is here and part of my family is there. And where's home? But someday, we'll all be home. And we really will be home. You see, in the Father's house, there are many rooms. And there's room for all who trust in Christ. And Christ says, trust in me, believe in me, and believe that there is a future that is secure. Doesn't matter what happens here. These men, most of them, are going to die for their faith in Jesus. They're going to have horrible deaths. And yet he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm telling you, there is a place that I am preparing for you. And at the end of the day, how long does the trouble last? 70, 80 years? And then all eternity at home. We're going home. If we're trusting the Lord, we're going home. And he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. But heaven isn't such a wonderful place in and of itself. It's a wonderful place, I'm sure. But I don't know, we don't have it so much now, but we used to have all sorts of songs about streets of gold and pearly gates and all sorts of wonderful architectural phenomena. And you think to yourself, well, if every street is paved with gold, how much is gold worth? The Spaniards arrived in Peru and the Incas had whole areas totally of gold. The Incas thought nothing of it, wasn't all that important. Spaniards went berserk for it. They tore it apart and destroyed the whole thing. But the Incas couldn't see what's the value of this. What's the value of if everything is gold? I remember I was a millionaire for a while. I was. Everybody in Peru was. When I went there were about 10 soles to the pound. I think it was something like that. And inflation began. And then we had 10,000 soles became a new inti. And then we had 1 million intis became a new soli. I was a millionaire. Took me about 1 million to buy a bread. What's the point in everybody having 1 million if 1 million doesn't feel like anything? What's the point of heaven being paved with gold? The book of Revelation says that. It's to give us an idea that it is beyond our wildest imaginations. But the wonderful thing about heaven isn't heaven. The wonderful thing about heaven is that we will be with Jesus. They're concerned that he's going away. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The wonderful thing about heaven is Jesus is there. And Jesus will receive us. He'll not only receive us, he'll come for us and bring us there. Troubled soul, what is your future? Your future in Christ is glory with Christ forever. The troubles may be real, but they'll end someday. The goal has been determined not by our worries, not by our politicians deciding if they will or will not go to war, or will or will not do this, that, or the other. Our future has been decided by God in Christ, and our future is secure when we trust in Christ. Think of heaven. Heaven is assured to those who trust in Christ. But he's going by means of the cross. He's going by means of the tomb. He's going to die in the place of men and women and so prepare a place for us in the presence of God. And I will take you to myself, he says. I will take you to myself. How does John's gospel begin? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was face to face with God, and the Word was God. And here's God, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us, saying, I'm going, but I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you to be with me forever. In my Father's house are many rooms, and my Father is your Father, and my family is your family, and you can have a room in the Father's house when we all come together at the end of the day. And you know the way. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Says Thomas. And Jesus says, I am the way. How do you get to heaven? There's only one way. Jesus is not a way. Jesus is not a truth. Jesus is not a form of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father, he says, except through me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, but the way to get to my Father's house is to come to my Father, and the way to come to my Father is to come through me. Let me ask you, can you leave your troubles with God and with Christ? Or do you not know him as yet? Do you carry your troubles because you've nowhere to leave them? You have no idea the trouble that lies ahead if you do not know Christ. But when you trust in him as the way to heaven, when you see the truth that he brings, when you receive the life that he gives, you can be assured my troubles, whatever they are, can be left with confidence with Christ. The first case for a troubled soul is to remember God in Christ. The second is to think of heaven, and think of heaven as centered in Christ. And the third thing is that he gives us his Holy Spirit. We didn't read the whole chapter. Maybe we should have. That was my fault for not saying to see if I said to him 1 to 6. But the third thing is that he gives us the Spirit to be with us. And the Spirit is with us at all times. Another, what's the word? Helper, counselor, comforter. Yes, the lot. He is the one who counsels us. He is the one who comforts us. He is the one who helps us. He is the one who is our lawyer when we've got problems. We go to God through Christ, and the Spirit presents our prayers to God, and Jesus Christ himself presents his suffering to God. And we have two advocates with the Father, two lawyers. Jesus Christ, who says, yes, he's guilty. Yes, she's deserving of punishment, but I have taken his place, her place. Receive him for my sake. And the Spirit who says, I'm teaching this follower of Jesus to call you Father. I'm the Spirit of adoption, and I'm teaching him to call you Father because you have promised that all who come to Christ, he will make children of God. Isn't that wonderful? We have the Spirit. I saw a thing in my daughter and son-in-law's house, a little bookmark that said, I can't remember exactly what it said, but something to the effect, if I go away and leave you, can I? If you go away and leave me, can I come too? Jesus isn't saying that. He's saying the opposite. He's saying, I'm going away, but I will be with you. I will dwell with you by my Spirit. The comforter, the counselor, the helper is another helper like Jesus. There are two words for another in Greek. One means a different one, and the other means another the same. And the Holy Spirit is another of the same, just like Jesus, but with us and in us. Jesus was with his disciples, but when he was in Jerusalem, he wasn't in Galilee. And when he was in Galilee, he wasn't in Jerusalem. He says, I'm going. You're not going to see me. But I will leave the Spirit, who is another one just like me. And you'll not have to go to Jerusalem to find him. And then discover he's up in Galilee. He will be in you. He will dwell with you. And my Father and I will make our abode with you. Isn't the Trinity wonderful? Do you understand that? I don't understand the Trinity. I believe it with all my heart. I don't understand it. I don't understand the relationships between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. But I know this, that all three are involved in my salvation. The Father planned it, the Son executed it, the Spirit applies it, but the Spirit lives in us. And he is the guarantee that we will get to heaven. And through him, Christ and the Father live in us. Are you troubled tonight? Is your trouble serious? Do you not know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or in a year's time and you're concerned? Leave your concerns with God and Christ. Think that he has promised you heaven with Christ. And think that Christ has gone to prepare that place for you and me. And think that while he has gone and left us, he has left us with another helper, comforter, lawyer, whatever we need, the Spirit provides. And this is the one who dwells not only with us, but in us. Troubles remain. Jesus isn't saying your troubles don't exist, but he's saying, I am greater than your troubles. My promises are surer than any threat that this world can bring to you. And my security is guaranteed. I have given you a guarantee. I have sealed you with my Spirit, and you will be mine for all eternity. And you will come home to my Father's house, which is your Father's house. And there'll be no more trouble. And there'll be no more concern. Why? Because Jesus took our place. We can go to his place. Has Jesus taken your place? Have you trusted in him as the one who takes away not just your fears and anxieties, but your sins which have alienated you from God, your rebellion which has put you against God? We deserve to have trouble, don't we? For all that we have done in our lives to offend a holy and a just God. And yet Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trusting in Christ, whatever the problems might be, Christ says, I am the way to the Father. The Father has a heaven prepared, and while you're waiting, the Spirit is here to guarantee that you'll get there. What a great salvation we have. What a great God we have. What a wonderful message we can proclaim. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of your grace to us. We thank you for the plan of God, that when the fullness of time was come, you sent forth your Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And you sent your Spirit into our hearts, which cries, Abba, Father. And we thank you for the assurance of this in the midst of all our troubles and concerns and preoccupations. We thank you that you are with us and you will never leave us nor forsake us. That Christ has gone to prepare a place for us and will come again to receive us to himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Lord, forgive us when we do not trust you. Forgive us when we question you, when we disappoint you, when we are like the disciples that night and prone to abandon Christ and to deny Christ and to not understand what he's saying, help us to grasp the truth of your word. Help it in our hearts. Make it a reality in our lives, that we, in all our troubles, might look to you and find peace and security that only you can give, because we have found pardon through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross. So we commend ourselves to you. We commend all our concerns to you in the name of Christ, who comforts us and assures us that he has dealt with all our real problems, and he will be with us always. Amen.